Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God's presence surrounds us like the very air we breathe. Breathe deeply this morning, my friends.
Thank you.
lots of good medical attention going on up front. And so I'm going to take the attention away from that for a second and welcome you and offer you some announcements. And we're delighted that you all are here, especially if you're here for the very first time. We want to welcome you and express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. If there is any way that we can help with that, we are glad to do that, of course. And one way is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. The best way, perhaps, to do that is to look through your bulletin insert, find a way that you can plug in, and just plug in. I want to list up a few of those, but I hope you'll look at all of those listed in your bulletin insert. First of all, Chris's reception is next week. I hope you'll be here next week, because in between services, we get to express our appreciation for Chris Allen, his ministry with us, and all that he has done for us during his time here, and wish him well as he and Erica go forth to begin a new church in Florida. So we're excited for their news and sad to lose him, but I know that you will want to express your appreciation between services next week. The following week on the 25th will be my last Sunday to preach as your senior pastor officially, and there is a luncheon reception. I thought there might be a hoots and applause at that point, but I was prepared for that. There will be a luncheon reception following. Please make a reservation. Please RSVP if you plan to be here for the lunch, especially. I look forward to seeing many of you there. I hope you can be there. I want to remind you that our combined Sunday school class began last Sunday in McWhorter Hall. It's not too late to get involved. Michael McCray is leading that with some guests who will be speaking on different Sundays. I will not be able to be there, but I know you will enjoy it. I was there last week, and it was really, really fine. It's on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and it's a very helpful discussion. Perhaps the best way that you could help any new staff person coming here, and as you know, we have two, Carol Cavan-Dillon and Brandon Baxter, the best ways that you could help them is to wear a name tag, okay? If you don't have a name tag, you can check out here, you can get one made. We ask for a $3 donation to cover the cost of the tag, but if you don't have that, we'll spring for it, and then you are required to wear it every Sunday thereafter. Okay? Also, if you will sign up to get your picture or your family's picture made for the directory, one of the most helpful things for me when I arrived here was that we had just had a new directory made. And it is so helpful to be able to hear a name and put that name with a face, or see a face and put that face with a name. Now, unless the majority of people do that, it's not as helpful. Okay? It's not a beauty contest. It is a way of identifying you. So please, get your photograph made, get your name tag made. It will be such a great help to your new clergy on staff. And finally, there are t-shirts here. If you are ready to pick them up in Reed Hall, if you ordered a t-shirt, you can pick them up between services or after the last service if you choose. Have you ever had a child tell you, I love you this much? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But that only covers about half of the world. If it's this much, God loves you this much, and this much, and this much, and this much, and this much, to the very end of the age.
Come, ye that love the Lord, and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne.
Jesus promised to be with us always. In all times, this promise gives us hope. Come and celebrate the eternal promises of Christ. Brothers and sisters, God not only desires our repentance, but longs to offer us forgiveness. Therefore, cast all your anxiety on God, because God cares for you eternally. Let us pray. Loving God, we confess that we do not always bring honor and glory to your name. We are rebellious and weak. We flee before your goodness. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us by the grace and mercy of Christ, that we may rise up again in peace to love and serve your world. Amen. Friends, the Spirit of God is resting on you to restore, support, and strengthen you. Therefore, be at peace in the one who forgives and loves you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A reading from the Gospel according to John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave to me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are any other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to. If you'd like to bring a parent or grandparent or friend, perfectly all right. I love to see all these beautiful faces this morning. Oh my goodness, you just made my day just by walking up here. Isn't that great? You know what? When I was a little boy, I lived out in the country. I didn't live in the city, and out in the country, we had ponds. I don't know if you're used to ponds. A pond is kind of like a lake, but it's smaller than a lake. It's this much smaller that you can see all of the shore around the pond. And sometimes you can fish in ponds, and sometimes you can skip rocks in ponds, and sometimes when we didn't have anything else to do, we would pick up little rocks and we would just throw them out in the middle. And often when the wind isn't blowing, especially, the pond looks like a brown sheet of glass. It's so still. But if you take a rock and throw it in the middle of it, all of a sudden, these circles appear. And you can watch those circles. And the first circle that comes out gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it touches the whole shore around the pond. But there's another circle that comes out and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it touches the shore. And then another circle, bigger and bigger and bigger, one after another, until finally the pond returns to looking like a smooth brown piece of glass. Well, I want to tell you that God's love is kind of like that. In Jesus, God plopped a rock right down in the middle of our muddy lives. And all of a sudden, God's love started radiating out in big circles. When we talk about the Trinity and we say God is three in one, it's kind of like those waves. The first wave of God's love we experience is the creator of everything that is. And then that next wave is God coming to us in Jesus. And then the third wave is God coming to us in the Holy Spirit. And then we experience other waves as we come to church, as other followers of Jesus love us and teach us how to love one another. And finally, we become one of those big waves of love. And the crazy thing is, God's love is so big that it's not limited to a pond. It's not limited to a lake. It's not limited to an ocean. God's love goes all the way out across everything that is, across the universe, farther than any of us can imagine. Now, I'm going to be talking about how every time we think we understand what God is asking us to do and what Jesus tells us to do about loving each other, every time Jesus says, well, we need to just love a little more, this is what it's like. Yeah, we need to just love a little more, this is what it's like. And as you listen, just think about those rings on the water coming out from that stone. And God's love going throughout the whole universe. And as it goes, it passes through us here. And it passes through each and every one of you. And you get to share it too. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for sharing your love with us in Jesus, in the creation, in the very breath of life that is your Spirit with us. Thank you for giving us images to begin to try to understand how big your love is for everyone. And thank you especially that we can share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you all for coming down and making my day. We are especially fortunate in this congregation in that though we don't have any today, we have sometimes two or three baptisms a week. There are congregations who don't have two or three baptisms a year. There are congregations that sometimes don't have two or three baptisms in a decade. We are so fortunate that over and over and over again, we get to share God's love with families, with children, with adults who come to be baptized, with teenagers who come to be baptized, and we get to repeat our commitment. And part of that commitment is we will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness. Now, the danger of being such a blessed congregation is that we say it so often that we don't really hear what we're saying. But we promise with every single person who comes to be baptized that we are going to be a community of love and forgiveness. And how do we define that? Well, of course, we go back to Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you is one step up from what he proclaims in the other Gospels. John has a different take on everything, okay? You just have to understand, the Gospel of John is different from the other three in some radical ways. Mostly we hear, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's a fairly high standard, isn't it? But you know what? There are some times I don't love myself so much. So does that let me off the hook for not loving my neighbor? Maybe. Maybe. But John's not satisfied with that. Jesus, in John's recounting of the story, ups the ante. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Wow, how do you do that? The way Jesus has loved us, all of those people who followed him, who did not understand him, the one who betrayed him, the one who denied even knowing him, all of those who deserted him, love one another as he loved them, as he loved us. See, that's a much higher standard. And yet, if we're going to be a community of love and forgiveness, that is pretty much the standard, isn't it? To try to love others as Jesus has loved us. Where our love may fail, the love of Jesus does not fail. Where our love may fall short, Jesus' love does not fall short. And then we get to chapter 17, and he ups the ante again. In this chapter, Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples, essentially. He's been saying goodbye to them for a while. He's been giving them instructions about how they're to live their lives. What do disciples do, after all, when their master is no longer with them in person? Well, he has told them he's going to prepare a place for them. He'll come back and he will take them there. And in this particular passage, he begins to pray for them. And by association, he begins to pray for us. He says that he has given to those who followed him everything that God has given to him. All the knowledge, all the love, all the wisdom, everything that he has received, he has passed on. Both in his teaching, but also in his example. Remember, this is just before he's getting ready to go into Jerusalem and face crucifixion. So he has passed all that along. And then he prays that we will all be one the way Jesus and God are one. Wow. That the love we share with each other is a reflection of the love that God and Jesus represent. And on Trinity Sunday, of course, after Pentecost, we had the Holy Spirit in there as well. Because you see, that love that holds the Father, Son, and Spirit, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of us all together, is that same love that moves the sun and the moon and the stars, according to Dante. The whole creation is infused with that love. It is the love that moves atomic particles and subatomic particles. It is that love that not even black holes in the universe can swallow up. It is that love that cannot be destroyed because it is the very thing in which we live and move and have our being. Jesus prays for us to love each other the way he and God love each other. Well, that's a tall order, isn't it? He prays, too, that we will be protected from the world. Now, when he says the world, he doesn't mean the creation. The creation is good because it's woven together by God's love. It's spoken into being by God's first word. And according to John, that first word is Jesus. At the very beginning of the gospel, he makes it clear. No birth narrative, but a time before there was anything when God spoke a word that created all that is, and God's word was Jesus. So Jesus is as close to God as God's breath. The world that he's talking about is an attitude toward creation and other people. The attitude of the world is that creation is there just for us to use. It doesn't matter that God made it and called it good. We just need to use it however we want to, and if it's depleted or destroyed, too bad. That's the attitude of the world. That's what Jesus is praying to save his disciples from. To honor the creation woven together in God's love is to love one another as Jesus and God love one another. The attitude of the world is that people are not children of God. Certainly not all people are children of God, beloved of God, worthy of respect and love and care. But some people are worthy and some people are not. Some people are not even people. They're objects. They are things to be used, to be exploited. And if they are damaged or destroyed, too bad. That's the attitude of the world. Jesus is praying to save his disciples from that attitude because it's that attitude that's going to get him crucified. And he continually witnesses against the attitude of the world, the attitude that people are things, not even people. The attitude that people are there for us to use. The attitude that creation is not a wondrous gift of God, but rather just something that we can use up. He witnesses against that with the only thing that is more powerful, and that is the love that is shared between Jesus and God. The love that Jesus shares with his disciples. You see, it's a tall order we've been called to. It's a daunting calling that's been placed in our lives. It's not enough to just love one another as we love ourselves. Because sometimes we're self-destructive, and often when we don't love ourselves, that's exactly when we destroy other people. No, we are to love one another as Jesus loved us, with the ultimate goal of loving each other as Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit love one another, that we become one. That's a community of love, and it only operates through forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. And when that forgiveness is withheld, then we find it more difficult to be able to love. When that forgiveness is offered, we are offered a lesson in how to love. I have been here 7.5 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've needed to be forgiven for stuff. Sometimes just mess ups. Sometimes because I didn't know. Sometimes because I thought I was right. But found out later that being right may not be the most important thing. I need your forgiveness. We need each other's forgiveness. That's the only way this kind of love can operate. You can't love yourself without forgiving yourself. You can't love someone else without forgiving yourself so you can forgive them. To love one another as Jesus loved us means to hang on a cross and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That kind of forgiveness creates a community of love. And finally, to love as Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God love each other, the love that binds us together in ways that nothing can tear us apart, is a love almost beyond our imagining. but it's the result of a willingness to forgive. Because the forgiveness releases us to love. I know I've said this before, but my very favorite statement on forgiveness comes from Anne Lamott. She said, "To refuse to forgive is like sitting there drinking rat poison waiting for the rat to die. Doesn't hurt the rat at all. It just eats you up inside. It just keeps us from being loving human beings." I believe we have a community of love and forgiveness here. Well, not perfect, not yet, but that gives us something to aspire to. Because you see, when John Wesley talked about perfection, he didn't talk about reaching a point where we don't make any more mistakes. None of us reach that. For John Wesley, perfection was learning to love as God loves. I used to believe it only meant that we love each other as Christ loved us. But I think in this passage, Jesus is once again up the ante. It means to love one another as God and Jesus love one another, to become one, to feel each other's pains, to rejoice in each other's joys. That's our goal. I was embraced by that love when I came here. I think probably every single staff person would say that very same thing, and a lot of you would say that very same thing. You have been embraced by that community of love and forgiveness that we have here. And now you're getting Carol and Brandon, and they're going to be embraced by that same community of love and forgiveness that I've experienced, that you've experienced. And they will help lead you, along with all these other wonderful colleagues that I've been able to work with, they will help lead you further on that journey toward loving one another as God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit love one another. Every time we get a new person coming into this community, it's a rock dropped in the pond, an expression of God's love. Every time we get a new leader in this community, it's a rock dropped in the pond. Every time you get a new staff person, it's a rock dropped in the pond. And out of that comes circle after circle after circle after circle after circle of the love of God, until that love reaches every shore throughout the universe. Then the whole of creation becomes that community of love and forgiveness. That is my prayer for all of us. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in many ways, and it's mostly through what we do. But sometimes it's through what we say. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join me as we state our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, and resist evil. Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us share signs of love and forgiveness one with another. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today, And if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about this church and its ministries. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex in the rear of the sanctuary after the service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today we celebrate with the rose on the communion table the birth of Ann Walton Herbert, who was born May the 30th to Rachel and Eric Herbert. She is welcomed also by her big brothers, Henry and Will Herbert. We also this day extend our sympathy to the family of Christine Sladen Tibbett, who died Friday, June the 9th. Among her survivors are her sons, Terry and Randy Tibbett, her granddaughter, Waverly Tibbett, her niece, Sue Salato, and her nephews, Dan and Rob Sladen. A memorial service is scheduled for Friday, June the 16th at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. We also extend our sympathy today to the family of Dr. Walter Gobble, who passed away on Friday, June the 9th. Service will be at the church Tuesday, June the 13th at 11 a.m. Visitation begins at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. Among his survivors is his wife, Liz Gobble. We also extend our sympathy this morning to the family of Nan Bowers. Her mom, Sammy Jo Doss Andrews, died early this morning in Batesville, Arkansas. West End members are Nan and Greg Bowers, Katie Bowers Coleman, and Amy Bowers Myers and their families. Arrangements have not been finalized, but the service will be early during the week in Marianna, Arkansas. We also want to make you aware and extend our sympathy to the family of Reverend Dr. Mark Forrester on the death of his wife, Elaine Billingsley Forrester, who passed away on Thursday. Mark Forrester is the university chaplain and director of religious life at Vanderbilt University. Visitation will be on Tuesday, June the 13th from 5 to 8 at City Road Chapel, United Methodist Church. And the funeral will be on Wednesday, June the 14th at noon, with visitation 1 hour prior at City Road Chapel, United Methodist Church. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We come before you, O God, with joyful and grateful hearts. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need this day. We pray for the people of God in every land, for witnesses who by their example show your steadfast love, for the strength to walk in your ways and observe your commands to love our neighbor. We lift up all nations, communities, and families torn by violence, for leaders and protesters, for managers and visionaries, for dictators and peacemakers. We especially pray for the children of Yemen and the children of Sudan who experience violence every day, and the many people who are refugees escaping fear and death in their homelands. We know, O God, that your mercy is great. Remind us, merciful God, that the earth and its riches are for the people who inhabit this great creation. We give you thanks for the wetlands, the rivers and lakes, the oceans and air. May we honor this beautiful planet instead of abuse it for our own purposes. We pray for all people who are victims of injustice, for those unemployed or underemployed, for those living on the streets, for people struggling with addiction, anger, fear, or illness, and for all those who have asked this congregation for prayer. We lift them up to you this day. For this community of faith, for those who come to worship every week and those who cannot come, for the young and the not so young, for newcomers and familiar faces, for those who are seeking to know you, and the newly baptized in every land, hear our prayer, O Lord. Into your promises we entrust all those whose need are known to us today and those whose needs are only known to you. Grant peace to all as we pray together in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings serve as a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
And now go forth as a wave of God's love, expanding the circle of God's love wherever you go, knowing that the love of God, Jesus Christ, God's Word, and the Holy Spirit, God's breath, will be in you and around you and accompany you every single day. Go in peace.
Oh.